Finding Nirvana. Only when one finds the original spirit of human beings, which is non-existent, and is able to use it at one's disposal, does the life of a human being open up. When that happens, in whatever kind of life and with whatever shape of a body, one finds Nirvana. Happy New Year, everyone. I wondered this evening whether in the contest between The Hangover and New Year's resolutions, which would win. It seems that The Hangover may have the upper hand this evening in terms of turnout. But it's so sweet to be sitting here this evening with all of you. Such a lovely way to kick off the new year. So New Year's resolutions, vows. We in our community often take our vows together. The fundamental vow being the attainment of enlightenment or awakening or nirvana for the sake of all beings, for the sake of all beings. So what is this to find nirvana? What does that mean? Thich Nhat Hanh describes nirvana as the cessation of all concepts, which I think is an interesting idea, it being a concept itself. Of course. How does one even begin to point the way toward that which is beyond conception? For me, one of the ways that I describe our practice is recognizing concepts as merely concepts. I think that that's a very valuable pointer and perhaps even more useful in my practice than the notion of the cessation of concepts. Of course, even Thich Nhat Hanh says, there is no nirvana without samsara. They are not separate, but these are ways that we talk about practice, and every word that we speak divides. It's inevitable. The moment we say a word, its opposite in some way remains in the shadows, and in that sense, we know that anything we say is incomplete. So, when Thich Nhat Hanh describes it as the cessation of concepts, that's not really it. When I say it's seeing concepts as concepts, that's not really it. Because nirvana is everything and anything that arises. This very moment is nirvana. We just have a tendency to disbelieve that. And we tend to think of ourselves as separate from it in some way. This reading is a lovely pointer as well, a different way of talking about it, and in that sense, quite useful. Only when one finds the original spirit of human beings and is able to use it at one's disposal does the life of a human being open up. And what is this original spirit of human beings? Well, it is non-existent. So what does that mean? More Zen speak just to confuse you? No, in a way, it's very direct speech. When people laugh at Zen speak for having contradiction within it, it's just the most direct way of pointing. A direct way of pointing through our true nature, which, as Hakuin says, is no nature at all. What is this no nature? There are all kinds of philosophical discourses that we could engage to explore that question, and we have done so in our earlier talks and discussions. We've talked about the Heart Sutra and emptiness being exactly form. What does that mean? Are these two separate entities one entity? Well, they aren't two separate entities at all. It's just this. And what is this? Well, it's form and it's emptiness. This arising, this presence. How is it form and how is it emptiness? We can observe this very clearly. We can see that this moment is not anything that we can hold on to. In fact, when I said this moment, that is gone. Where is it? It was apparently nothing because it isn't here. Emptiness. And yet there is something. Here we are, form. Now we can get all philosophical about why this is true, but it's not the point. The point is to wake up to this dream life, which is quite beyond conception. It's not a matter of getting caught up in understanding the form side and understanding the emptiness side, because we never can. It's a matter of being awake to it and appreciating it. This is not a philosophical endeavor. This is a practice that we are doing together, waking up. And all of these pointers are merely to help relieve us of the obstructions where we get lost. And where do we most frequently get lost? But in the notion of things having particular essences. So there is medicine. We have the idea that we have a self that is somehow behind the curtain, like the Wizard of Oz, controlling all the shape-shifting experiences that we have in our mind. And so our practice is to look again and again and again to find the wizard. We're off to find the wizard, the wonderful wizard of me. And you know, we go walking and walking on the yellow brick road through forests and dark nights of the soul. And we encounter so many inner demons seeking this one permanent fixture that we can hold on to forever, ourself. And of course, we never find it because there is no permanent resident there. That's emptiness, nothing more. We imagine we'll find it somewhere. Emptiness, the substance of emptiness. It's amazing the way we trick ourselves to go on looking for something that we can hold on to. We do that endlessly. This Dharma is both so simple and incredibly radical for the fact that there's literally nothing you can hang your hat on. But we keep trying. And perhaps we just have to wear ourselves out at that. Perhaps that's the job for a long time. But perhaps at some point we realize that the original spirit of human beings is non-existent. And when we're able to use this non-existence, the life of a human being opens up. How do we use non-existence? Well, this is just a matter of sitting, listening, walking, lying down, eating when we're hungry. Emptiness is exactly form. We're always using non-existence. This is the life of a human being. When that happens, in whatever kind of life and with whatever shape of a body one finds nirvana, what a radical statement that is. In whatever kind of life and with whatever shape of a body one finds nirvana. I hate to say that this practice is not going to necessarily make us any more attractive, give us a better body, and it won't necessarily give us a better life. What it does is gives us the life that we have. This life, this one that we are living right here, is what opens up to us as we are no longer lost in our daydream, in our ideas of ourselves and of reality and of the way things are. By the time we peg those nails into the air, everything has changed. Does this mean that our stories don't matter? Of course not. Our stories do matter. They affect us. We affect each other with our stories. You know, it's so interesting that everything can be empty and yet still really matter. It matters whether we eat food, whether we care for one another, whether we tell the truth as we perceive it, whether we treat each other with kindness and respect. These are the kinds of things that shape this collective dream for all beings. This is how we engage in the bodhisattva work of saving all beings. So we need to be careful in talking about this non-existent human nature, not to slip into a nihilistic place of believing that there therefore is nothing, because that too is just another thought, just another idea that we're stuck on. We need to come full circle right back into our life. This mysterious actuality, this dance, this shape-shifting, beautiful dream, and engage with our full heart in doing what we can to care for it, to care for each other. It's not easy, this bodhisattva vow, this New Year's vow, to wake up and save all beings. But, you know, what else are you going to do?